So last week, we had our burning bowl ceremony. And the burning bowl is about letting go, about releasing what no longer serves us. Today is our white stone ceremony. And our white stone ceremony is about bringing in. You can think of it as like an inhale. What we're going to take in, we're going to bring in some fresh, new energy. It's about opening up to the divine wisdom that lives inside of you and allowing that to be a focal point in your life for the next year. The White Stone Ceremony has its roots in Christianity, and I'm not going to talk about the roots today. And the reason is because Dennis actually spoke about it last year. He went in quite in depth about the history of the White Stone Ceremony, and I believe there's a summary in our bulletin about the history of the White Stone Ceremony. I wanted to take it and do something a little different, because that's what happens when things change. And we're in a process of change right now here at Unity as we look for our next minister. And so lots of changes are going to be coming over the next weeks, months, as we continue our search. And so I wanted to really think about and have all of you think about a stone. And when I started to think about the stone, the white stone, and what it really means, and the qualities of a stone, and what we can embody ourselves, and I began to think of, well, a stone is solid, and it's firm, and it's strong. It's resilient, and it endures and perseveres. A stone stands strong against the storms, the forces of nature that can be brutal, the rain, the wind, the snow, the cold, the scorching heat. The stone still stands and remains strong. These are the qualities that I think at Unity we also have. We are able to endure through the passage of time. Remember, I had a conversation with Nancy Nelson this week, and I didn't tell her I was going to talk about her. Sorry, Nancy. I didn't know what was going to come out. But Nancy told me that she's been coming to Unity for 30 years, right? This Unity for 30 years. Wow. And that over that time that we've had seven ministers here, seven different ministers in a 30-year period. And so sometimes we want to think that Unity is the minister. And of course, the minister is an important cornerstone of the foundation of Unity, but is not the foundation. Unity is built on principles. Unity is built on shared values. And so I thought it'd be interesting to maybe talk about some of the qualities that create our Unity foundation here. So I started to think about, well, what is the foundation of Unity? And I looked at a number of different things in my research. But one thing that I kept coming back to was our opening welcome statement that used to come right at the very beginning, where we welcome everybody. And so thinking about this, I thought, well, let's start first just with the word unity, because we are called Unity Center. Priscilla Shearer said, unity doesn't mean sameness. It means oneness in purpose. It means to be joined together as a whole, to exist peacefully and harmoniously, kind of like a human orchestra, where every single one of you sitting here today is a unique instrument of the divine. And when we come together to play in our authentic uniqueness, we're able to create a beautiful symphony or a beautiful orchestra with the energy that reverberates throughout the entire community that we live in here in Coeur d'Alene. Unity is able to transform a group of individuals into a cohesive whole. We are stronger like a rock when we come together. And so, if unity means a shared purpose, then what's our shared purpose at Unity? Well, that is also in our name. We're the Unity Center of Spiritual Growth. That's one of our main purposes here, is to grow spiritually, to deepen our relationship with the universe, to deepen our relationship with our higher self, our soul, our spirit, but also to deepen our understanding of our lower self, because we all have that too. It's okay. It is okay. It is okay. Because part of unity is also accepting each other. And acceptance is one of the qualities that we have here at Unity. When we say that all people are welcome here to worship, we're saying that we accept you. In order to have unity, we need to have the virtue of acceptance. Accepting allows people and situations to be as they are. It's to embrace the differences and to let go of the things that we can't control, which is a lot. It's allowing others to have their own thoughts and opinions and feelings without trying to change them. Now, acceptance doesn't mean agreeing, and it's not the same as resignation, and it's not even the same as tolerance. I like to think of acceptance and tolerance as sisters. Tolerance is a willingness to allow for differences. Tolerance means being willing to put up with the differences, even if you don't fully understand or agree with them. Acceptance is embracing and valuing those differences. It's taking tolerance a step further by actively embracing our diversity and promoting equality. And it's about creating a more inclusive and harmonious society where our differences are celebrated. When I started to think about acceptance and tolerance, because sometimes we can't find it in our hearts to accept something. And that's okay too, that's where we're at on our journey. It was hard to accept Reverend Dennis retiring. But we say, well, maybe I can't accept it, and I'm going to fight against it and hold on and cling. Well, you can do that. That's a choice. That's a choice. And if you can't find acceptance, you're forced to tolerate it because it's happening whether you want it or not. So if we can't find acceptance, we ask ourselves, can I find tolerance? And if we say no to both of those questions, no, I can't accept, no, I can't tolerate, then really what we're doing is we're creating judgment. And I like to think of it as we cast the stones of judgment at others by not being accepting, by not being tolerant. We judge others, we criticize, because we're unwilling to really recognize our own faults, our own imperfections. We don't want to have understanding or lack of empathy. And so we cast the stones of judgment at others. But here at Unity, we're making a choice to not throw stones at each other. We're not trying to knock each other down. We're not trying to say what I think is what you have to think. What I believe is what you have to believe. The way I do it is the way you have to do it. We're not looking for sameness. We're looking for shared purpose, which is spiritual growth. Thank you, Brian. I completely forgot about the slides. I just realized, oh, that's right, I had a slide. And that's what I mean about unity, is that when we forget something, there's someone else there to pick up and say, hey, I got you. I don't think I even have the thing, the clicker for it. So Brian, I'm going to let you do your awesome job. So along with unity, as one of our stones in our foundation, it's also love. In our opening welcome, we say that we strive to live love and uplift lives. So what does living love mean? That's a nice phrase, but what does that actually mean? So living love means that we try to embody love in every aspect of our life. It's how you treat yourself, how you interact with others, and how you interact with the world around you. Living love is about cultivating a mindset and a lifestyle that prioritizes love, kindness, compassion. And it starts with you, with loving yourself. I genuinely believe that the world changes one person at a time, as one individual is able to forgive themselves, is able to be patient with yourself. If we're able to not shame ourselves, we can maybe like ourselves and then learn to deeply love ourselves. If every single individual on this planet learned to love themselves, the world changes. The entire world changes. So your power to change the world resides in you and learning to love yourself. Because as within, so without. I want to talk a little bit more about love, because I love love. And when I was thinking about love, of course I think of self-love, loving yourself, and then how we love others and how we show that love with our actions, with our words. But I thought about Corinthians 13:4-7. Where it's love is patient, love is kind. And that's really the truth, because love is an umbrella for so many of the qualities that we want to possess. Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy. Well, I thought, well, how can love does not envy? How can we make that more positive? And I came up with thinking, well, the opposite of envy is a word called compersion. And compersion is feeling a genuine happiness when someone experiences positive things. Compersion. So love is compersion. Love does not boast and it is not proud. meaning love is humble. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. So I took this as love is zen. Love is zen. It keeps no records of the wrongdoings. That means that love is grace and love is forgiveness. And love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. And this is what the love of unity is. So along with unity, acceptance, love, I also added healing to this. Now, our opening statement doesn't talk about healing. But as some of you may know and some of you may not, Unity actually began as a healing ministry. Myrtle was cured of tuberculosis, and Charles healed himself from a leg that had been damaged when he was a young boy. The Fillmores healed themselves through the use of positive thought, affirmation, and prayer. Now, it didn't say this in any of my research, but I'm also going to add music. Because all is energy, vibration, frequency. And I forget. It was good, but then it was gone. And I'm sure I'll come to it later. So music, oh, and energy work. Music and energy work, embodying the energy of being whole and healed. Because for me and for the Fillmores, and I know a lot of you out there as well, spirituality and healing are deeply connected. They are deeply intertwined. Because spirituality provides the framework and the practices to help us facilitate our healing. And when we heal, we reveal more of our true divine essence. We become more in alignment. And there are so many different ways that our society, our world needs to heal. We need emotional healing. And our spiritual practices like prayer and meditation and mindfulness can help us heal emotionally. Help us cultivate more inner peace by connecting with the divine power. The power inside of you can help us find solace and comfort in those times of emotional turmoil. We also need mental healing. And here at Unity, we encourage the power of positive thinking, the power of gratitude. That taking on these attitudes really make a difference in shifting the mental mind, which tends to focus on negativity, which served a purpose for us. Being able to identify possible problems in our environment was necessary for our survival. But we're moving beyond that. And we're moving into a space that's bringing in love and the power of positivity and creating that with our thoughts. We also need physical healing. Many of us suffer from physical ailments, disease, sickness. And I'm not saying that we don't need to visit the doctor and have treatments that our doctors and professionals subscribe to us. But we also have the power to physically heal ourselves, just like Myrtle did, and just like Charles did, with prayer, with visualization, with seeing ourselves whole, with seeing others around us healed and whole. Besides emotional, mental, physical, our world also needs spiritual healing. Spiritual healing involves all of those aspects that I mentioned, emotional, mental, physical. Spirituality is a journey towards self-discovery and purpose and connection. Connection with each other and connection with God. When we feel a deeper sense of meaning and connectedness to this universe, when we feel fulfilled and we truly feel at one or at unity with all that is, it's healing to our being. And when one being is healed, it will spread. Another being becomes healed. Almost like a healing infection. Which And that's what I want us to do at Unity. That's why I added healing, because the way I see forward is through healing. And so I'm going to, in just a few moments, we're going to do our white stone ceremony. And I want you to keep that in mind throughout the year, that we're here to heal. We're here to be in unity with one another. We're here to accept one another. And all those things come under the umbrella of loving one another. Amen. I heard that. Amen.
Visualizing light.
Visualizing light, Joseph said. Thank you, Joseph. All right. We're going to move into our meditation now. And from our meditation, it will be our white stone meditation as well. So I'm going to ask, did everybody pick up a white stone when you came in? If you didn't, there's no rush, no hurry. We'll get white stones. If you want to either raise your hand and we can come around and bring you one, or if you want to choose your white stone, because I know many people out there like to pick their own stone where they feel a certain energy or a stone that speaks to them. I know I picked my stone out this morning. I collected a bunch of white stones from the Salmon River, and I brought them here and added them to our selection. And so I'm going to ask you now, as we move into meditation, just to take your white stone in your hand. And I want you just to close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And let's just breathe. Breathe in and out. And as you breathe in and out, just relax a little more. Because there's nothing for you to do at this moment but to just sit, to breathe, to be. The stone that you hold in your hand right now is millions of years old. Billions of years that you look at all of the atoms and everything that is made of. Parts of this stone have been around since existence itself. Just as parts of you have been here throughout time. And as you breathe and relax deeper and deeper,
I want you to think of yourself opening up, relaxing so that the tension subsides, so that you become spacious, like the sky. You have space and are open. You are open so that infinity can flow through you. Infinity flows through you. Infinity flows through you and through your white stone. You and this stone are connected, just as you and God are connected. We become quiet, we become still, we become centered. Centered in the peace of God, the peace that lives inside. We let go of the thinking mind. We let go of the emotional mind. And we become present with the spiritual mind, the mind that has no boundaries. You are expansive. You are spacious. And you allow for divine inspiration to pass through you. And in this space, you allow for the divine to whisper, to quietly speak to you a word, a phrase, or a quality. The Buddha said, what you think, you become. And God will whisper to you the words that the divine is asking you to become. So we become still and we listen. We listen for a name to come into our consciousness. When that word or phrase or quality comes, we don't push it away. We don't judge it. We simply receive what has been given. Through us in the silence.
and resting in the joy of God, I know that all is well. The love of God is breathing me and resting.
Ask you to take your pen. And if you don't have a pen, that's okay. We'll share them. And just write down your word or your phrase, whatever is brought forth during your meditation, what's going to guide you, what's going to be your personal, become one of the stones in your personal foundation on your path.
But then I guess we know there's blame to share, and none of it seems to matter anymore. I knew you because I